Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Francisco Canaro. We heard El Chamuyo, and that is a vintage recording of an orchestra in 1930 performing typical tango music. And we have some special guests today to enlighten us further. Well, when I hear the word tango, I get excited, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Meredith Klein, who is a great tango dancer, and what is the name of your school, Meredith?
It's the Philadelphia Argentine Tango School.
Oh, that says it all. there's going to be an amazing tango festival. Now, we had covered this, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, but it's wonderful to hear that it's going on every year, and that's what you're doing.
Yes, we've made it an annual event. It's a four-day festival over each Memorial Day weekend, and this year it takes place from May 24th to 28th.
Now, it's international by now, isn't it?
Yes, we invite internationally recognized tango dancers and teachers to teach and perform at the festival. And we attract dancers from all over the U.S. and sometimes from beyond.
How did you get interested in tango, actually, to begin with?
Well, it actually did start when I was a student. I was a music theory student at Amherst College, and a good friend of mine started composing tangos. And he decided that it was necessary to learn something about the dance in order to write the music. And so we were able to write a grant and get a little money from the school to go take some tango lessons. And that was in 1999.
But why was he just writing tango music, not knowing anything about it? That's such an odd thing, isn't it?
Well, I guess young people get interested in all sorts of things, right? He was composing, and he liked the sound of tango, and he wanted to see what he could do in that genre.
Now, you're very serious about it. You have a partner as well.
Yeah, and mostly I've had the school here in Philadelphia now for 5.5 years. So that's where the large part of my tango energies go these days. But I've been involved in tango in different ways. I was a very committed social dancer before it was a professional thing for me. And then I moved to Buenos Aires for 3 years, where I really immersed myself in the tango scene and in studying and in meeting all sorts of people who teach, perform, play tango, etc. And there I met a partner, Andres Amarilla, and we traveled around the country, around the world, actually teaching tango together. And then we came and founded the school. Right now, I'm the only director of the school. Andres is currently living in Cyprus.
Oh, my.
But
do they do tango there? I wonder.
Yeah, he's working with a friend of ours running a tango school in Cyprus. Oh. There's tango all over the world now. It's pretty amazing.
Yes, I know it is. And of course, it's infectious, I guess, if you're a dancer, at least. I mean, it's always nice to know, you know, another culture. But it is so for me, it fascinates me and I love it. I'm kind of a novice in a sense, but I do love it. Adam Hoopengardner, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I actually met Meredith here in Philadelphia about 9 years ago because I moved to New York to study tango and I was afraid of the community. And I came here because it was smaller and it was a little bit more comfortable. And we met my first trip here.
That's very interesting. That's an interesting reason for moving to Philadelphia. So, that's something. What made you become interested in tango?
I liked the social dynamic. I liked meeting people. I enjoyed traveling and having a base everywhere I could go. As Meredith said, there's tango all over the world. So if you're interested in traveling and you know how to even dance a little bit, you can go anywhere and you'll have a little community waiting for you there already.
It's rather unusual, though, for somebody to just say, I think, let's see, how can I make my desire, my desires met in terms of traveling all over the world, and then I think I'll learn how to do the tango. It's very unusual, I would say. To what degree are you involved, in aside from dancing?
I've been teaching full-time for about 4.5 years or so, and I run a weekly event in New York City and a monthly event in New York City, and I teach weekly in New York City.
So is there a lot of interest in learning the tango?
Especially in New York, but especially all over. And like I said, I started there 9 years ago. I really started in Cleveland, Ohio, but I moved to New York. But I must say, within the past 5 years here in Philadelphia, the amount of growth, which was affected by the studio which Meredith runs,
yes,
has been tremendous. It's
That's wonderful
amazing.
To hear. We've just heard a wonderful tune, Ciao Pinella, also from 1930, performed here by an orchestra with the leader Carlos Di Sarli and singer Ernesto Fama. So tell us, Meredith, a little bit about what this festival really is, aside from, of course, it's a presence here in Philadelphia every year now, but what does it include?
Well, it's a chance to live and breathe tango straight for 4 days without coming up for air. It includes 22 workshops, tango workshops for all levels. There's a beginner track of 4 days that someone who's never tried tango before could walk into and come out knowing a significant amount about how to dance and what tango is and what the music is, all within 4 days. So for one thing, it's a chance for people who've never tried tango to get involved. And then for people who dance, there's opportunities to study at intermediate levels and all the way up to advanced, and then to dance every night, you know, until 2 a.m. or on Saturday night, you can dance till 6 a.m. Sunday with the best DJs that exist.
And where does this all take place during the festival?
Two venues. We mainly use the Ruba Club in Northern Liberties, which has a beautiful ballroom. It's a wonderful venue. We've used it a few times, and we just love it there. And though it doesn't remind us of any particular milonga venue in Buenos Aires, it has an ethos that recalls so many different milonga venues in Buenos Aires, so we feel very comfortable dancing tango there.
And for the audience, a milonga is a dance, isn't it? I mean, it's the getting together and dancing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the event of, mm-hmm. of the social dance. It's also the venue where we get together. And then we also use our regular studio, which is in Fishtown on Frankfurt Ave. So some of the activities happen there.
If anyone wanted to attend, how would one go about it? Do you have to buy tickets or what?
There is pre-registration open through midnight tonight, Saturday, May 18th. And everything costs less in advance. So you could go check out the website, philadelphiatangofestival.com. And if you can make your plans by the end of the day today, you'll save. You can also come and pay at the door. But if that's not convenient, they're absolutely welcome to call me, 617-291-3798.
Okay, now, again, this is a series of things and events. And how many days is the festival again?
It's Memorial Day weekend. It's from Friday at 7 p.m. all the way through the end of the day Monday into the early morning hours of Tuesday, May 28th.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the music. It's very exciting to know about the event, but there's a wonderful history that is attached to tango, and you were fascinating me by telling me about it. So, I mean, what tangos actually do you play? I mean, are you up to the most contemporary or the old style or what do you actually use for repertoire?
Most of the music that we danced to socially was recorded between, say, the late 1920s and 1960.
I see. And is that what we're kind of accustomed to rather than Piazzolla?
You know, I don't know if the general public is accustomed to hearing that music. It's our kind of lifeblood in the community of people who like to dance tango socially, but it doesn't get played very much outside of our realm.
Well, I think the tango world is very close. People are close in the tango world, I think, and they love what it does for them, you know, physically and emotionally. You know, it's really a very profound experience. One of the tango favorites, which is very, very well known, is by a composer by the name of Osvaldo Pugliese. It's called Recuerdo, and here it is, performed with the composer conducting the ensemble. We've just heard Recuerdo by Osvaldo Pugliese, who also conducted his ensemble in this recording. Adam, tell us a little bit about your teaching and what will you be doing here at the festival?
Well, my partner Chico and I will be doing the beginner seminar on Saturday and Sunday at noon. And when we teach beginners, we try to give a broad spectrum of not just basic steps, but a cultural reflection of the music, the history, and the etiquette, because there's a very interesting etiquette to this whole world that you speak of that is secret. And
well, it's formal. There's a formal way.
But yeah,
what I have found that's very upsetting is if you take tango lessons, if you're a woman, you go in and they don't have enough men, so the woman has to dance the man's part, which I think is very bad when you go for these lessons, because a lot of the women come out, but there aren't that many men.
We had an intensive this weekend, and we were about to start it, and we had 10 leaders, 10 men standing around, and one woman. So it's there have been times when it seemed like only women or more women than men were interested in tango, but it's really changed. And because the leader's part, the man's part, is so demanding,
it's very important.
We see that a lot of guys are becoming and staying really, really committed to studying, to the point where a lot of classes have more men than women. So,
but there is a problem with that. I myself ran into that because I had taken some tango. I was very interested in it, and it wound up there were just no men around, or not enough men. So we were having, you know, it's like taking ballroom dancing. And I mean, in tango, the male, of course, is the dominant role. I mean, in terms of leading the woman, you know, it's the whole macho thing there, right?
The man leads.
Yes.
Or, I mean, today there are women who also want to learn to lead, because when we learn to lead, it reveals so much about the follower's role as well. And same thing for guys, that they'll learn to follow because it teaches them about how to be a better leader. So those roles are more fluid and more maybe complex than in the past. But one thing that we always do in our classes and events is we switch partners in a very structured, almost religious fashion. So everybody dances with everyone. And when we don't have gender balance, we'll actively go and recruit volunteers to create a balance. And so it really, the problem that you speak of was something that bothered a lot of people, and we've worked really hard to address it and eliminate it.
Well, that's good news, because it's very important. I mean,
and especially at the festival, because you're intentionally balancing the lessons, I believe, right? And the everything
at the festival. You register in the role that you want to dance, either as a leader or follower, mm-hmm. and so exactly we can balance the numbers and close registration for women when those slots are full and fill up the men's slots.
So there's enough time now to certainly sign up for classes.
There still is. Yeah.
It's
a nice big venue, and so we're able to accommodate quite big groups in the classes, and of course at the milongas, the social dances. So that's just great.
Now I see Amy Hay is here. Amy, you were a student at Temple, or you still are?
I am a student at Temple.
How did you get involved with tango?
I got involved with tango when I was a freshman here at Temple University, and I was taking a class in one of the buildings, and there happened to be several advertisements along this stairway that I would climb 3 days a week, and it was four flights of stairs I would have to climb.
They prepare you for the tango, I guess.
Yeah, and so I would get a chance to pass by this advertisement for this tango club that was happening on campus. And one day I just decided to show up with a friend and try it out. And I really fell in love.
Yes.
I was bit, you can say, by the tango bug.
No, I think fell in love is perfect, because I really I think people that are interested become not obsessed, but it really changes you as a person dancing.
Absolutely.
The tango. It sounds ridiculous. I mean, we have a lot of different dances that we do, and certainly, in the more recent dances, it's kind of you dance alone, but through ballroom dancing, it's always a partnership. There's something about the tango that is obsessive. I mean, in terms of course, I'm obsessed, but I can understand. So how did you find Meredith?
I found Meredith when our tango club actually took a field trip to the Philadelphia Argentine Tango School, and we had a class lesson, a beginner lesson mm-hmm. that she taught us, and I just really enjoyed her teaching style. I'm a student, and I would say that the way that Meredith teaches really speaks to a student's way of studying. And so it really worked out well for me. I got everything. I understood it. It wasn't confusing, and I just enjoyed it so much that after our tango club sort of dissolved because we didn't have enough participants, that I sought out Meredith, and I kept studying at her school.
Which is always sad, I guess. Adam, are there a lot of men that seem to want to dance the tango?
As Meredith said, you just never know. I mean, the way I structure my workshops in New York, we always have partners. You have to come in with a partner. It's just easier and it's more productive.
I see.
Because it's better to sort of enforce a balanced thing, because one week you could have more women and then the following week you'll have more men.
Well, what is it? It's a problem, because if you really want to learn the dance, I mean, you're sunk if you don't have a partner. Is that right?
Yeah, you're basically left to your own devices. You can work on your technique and you can listen to the music and study the music, but the ultimate thing, which is the connection, you won't have the opportunity to work with.
Are there any, well, I guess you must have them then, Meredith, at your classes, there are people that don't have a partner can come in and...
Well, we run our regular classes in exactly the opposite way, that we don't let anyone stay with a certain partner, and everybody rotates all the time, so everyone dances with everyone. And in the context of our community, we find that it means that the people with more experience are able to help pull up the people with less experience. The people with less experience get to understand what tango is about earlier, because they're dancing with people who know more. And also it fosters a feeling of community and
right.
of people helping
mm-hmm.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been really, really fortunate to be able to foster a super friendly atmosphere around the school, where the experienced dancers reach out to the people who are coming for the first time. Because whatever you're doing, it's scary to go for the first time.
Yeah.
It's scary to go to your first social dance, your first class. But, you know, most of the people in our community, because the tango community in Philadelphia, as Adam said, has grown very, very much in the past 5 years. So most of the people who are around, they started in the past 5 years, and they remember what it was like to go to their first milonga or class. Mm-hmm. And so they can really empathize, and they really reach out to the people who are just coming. And then we, you know, hire, for example, extremely friendly people like Amy.
And she's working with you now.
Yes. Yeah, she's been working with me for almost a year. Who also, you know, participate in making beginners feel really welcome. Also, for example, Amy, besides showing the steps with me in the classes and helping me teach, she can dance both roles. So she'll be there, and if there's too many guys, she'll dance as a woman. If there's too many women, she'll dance as the leader's part. And we have other people like that in the classes who can go do both roles.
Well, I have,
and thereby, yeah, you know, balance it out and make it feel very even and collaborative and supportive.
I saw several films where they had the men dancing together, and
that's how it started.
That's marvelous looking. It's just fabulous. How does that work, Adam?
Well, before there was technique in classes, there was the desire.
Yes.
And
I love that.
The men worked with each other to figure out, I mean, it all goes back to the same goal, which is you're trying to court a lady. And so the men would work together to figure out what was working so that they can then try it on a lady, basically.
Is that the way it started? Because I think in many countries, the men dance. I mean, that's, you know, they are the dominant dancers, like, for instance, even the Greek tradition and so on. So, but I was so taken with the beauty of seeing the two males dancing.
But it was a wonderful concept. You wouldn't go try something on the lady. You'd make sure it worked first. So you'd use your pals to figure it out. Or, for example, maybe you saw a step when you were out dancing last night and you really liked it. You're not just going to go out tonight and try to do it. You're going to go practice and figure out how it works with your guy friends, and only then will you try it with a woman.
So that's really the basis of that.
Well, that's how things started, yeah, for sure. And I think it's a very mature way to do it.
Yeah, because I mean, dancing is for everybody. And again, I think it's very beautiful. But I guess you still have a male-female distribution of how you follow, I guess. You follow, is that it?
Well,
whether
we
you're two males,
as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
or do you initiate something?
We offer the idea, and then we follow the result.
Well, that's safe.
You can only control so much, you know, and you don't want to control too much. You want to listen. I mean, that's part of the beauty of the dance. Is it's a dialogue with one another. If you're over-dominating, then you're not having any dialogue. It's like a conversation. You're just lecturing. And so somebody has to take the role of leadership. However, at the same time, just like with a conversation, you have to be willing to listen and change your opinion sometimes.
That's nice. Yeah. I think that makes sense. I don't know how often it happens, but I think it's a very nice idea. You know.
And one thing we actually haven't said yet is that this dance, Argentine Tango, is a completely improvised dance. So when we go out on the dance floor, we don't know what's going to happen. in the very instant of the moment, the dance, the music, the leader is making decisions about where he wants the follower to go, and then he's trying to communicate that. And then, as Adam said, he's listening to see whether she understood right, or maybe she understood a little bit differently. And if she understood a little bit differently, he doesn't throw up his hands and walk away. Rather, he adjusts to what she actually did, she actually understood,
I think that works.
And goes from there.
I think that works
in
all social, in all social dancing. I mean,
and the interesting thing about tango and all dances is you're not only dancing with a person, you're dancing with a music.
Mm-hmm.
So you're both affected not only by one another, but by the musical interpretation.
Oh,
so even if you're trying to communicate something to her, or she's trying to communicate something to you, physically, there is the influence of the music that could affect things as well. So we have to be paying attention to many aspects. And as Meredith said, there's also you're in a social environment, there's also the space limitations around you where maybe you want to go somewhere, there's no space.
Because there's and other people dancing right around you, and so you're influenced by the choices they make as well.
I think it works for every dance. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're doing a waltz, you know, I mean, that's what dancing is. It's you have probably established steps and you know, a course of steps, say. But it works on every single social dance. I mean, that's what it's a jitterbug, if you remember that one. That's mm-hmm. from a long time ago. And then, of course, a waltz and a two-step. And all of dance is defined. I mean, there are steps. And I guess what you're teaching initially in early tango is the steps, pretty much. But a lot of it is the following, which I think is terribly important. Music of Astor Piazzolla, known to us for many other tunes, but this particular one, Adios Nonino, was a tribute to his father. Piazzolla was a great jazz and Argentinian bandoneon player. I mean, he was known for that, and he was responsible for the whole idea of a new type of tango, which was called Nuevo Tango. What we heard was a performance by Mr. Piazzolla on the bandoneon, along with his ensemble. And that was, once again, Adios Nonino.
One super interesting thing about tango is that even though we do learn some sequences of steps, in the end, we don't really use them. In the end, every single step on every beat could go in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so even though there's a very great amount of structure in the dance, there's also complete freedom in the moment. There's not a sequence of steps that must be gotten through or that underlies the way I'm going to dance this song. And so that mm-hmm. ultimate freedom and the possibility of endless ways of making the song progress and turn out is what keeps us interested, what keeps us wanting to dance and go back and do it again.
Yeah, tango is the ultimate lesson of adaptability.
That's absolutely true.
And the other thing that differs it from other dances is, as far as I know, every other social dance stays in one spot in the room. Whereas with tango, you're going around the room with 50, 60, 70 other couples. So you're not only dancing with your partner, you're dancing with everybody. The whole room becomes one thing. And if you watch it from above, if you have that vantage point, it's amazing to see the ronda, the line of dance because with salsa and swing and all these other dances, it's a slot dance. You're in one space.
Well, that's
which is fine.
If you talk about the Viennese waltz, that's exactly what they do. I mean, it's also a circular motion, but you're talking about the very, very new dances, I guess, or current dances, which are very, very different, and they're kind of self-expressive, you know, and they dance alone in many, many cases. This is structured and exquisite. Just quickly about the music that you use, and tell us a little bit, Meredith, about the new. There's a new tango now, isn't there, in terms of music, the music that is being played?
So most of the tango we danced to socially, like I said, was composed between, say, the 20s and the 50s. And then tango went into a period of kind of slumber, or Adam said it nicely, the tango orchestras fell asleep and they only woke up, you could say, within the last 5 or 10 years. And the first thing that happened when people started composing tangos again was some real innovation in the direction of electronic tango.
Yes.
And so everyone by now has at least heard music by the Gotan Project, for example. Even if you don't know the name, you hear it in restaurants and stores. Some of the other electronic orchestras like Otros Aires, who came here to play in Philadelphia, also Tanguero, that we also brought here, Narco Tango, are typical electronic tango orchestras that are popular among tango dancers and among the lay public. However, that music is not as subtle for the purposes of social dancing as the music that was composed in the 20s through 50s. And so even though it is a lot of fun and it was an interesting development, we felt the need for something else.
Well, in terms of the instruments that they use, if it's electronic, what do they do? Do they have bandoneon?
There is one or more bandoneons.
And violin?
Often a singer, not so much a violin, but
similar
bassist.
Similar to techno and with sampling and remixing and things like this.
Yeah.
A techno beat going on, which is why it's not easy to dance to.
No,
rhythm,
if it's
the
got
rhythm
that
structure
yeah,
is not
that beat, yeah,
the same as it was tango, basically.
Not as subtle and suggestive for the purposes of social dancing. Though interestingly, because the music that we love to dance to is a bit subtle, it often takes new students, new dancers, a little while or maybe years to get to the point of really loving and really being inside the music. And so electronic tango formed a more instantaneous connection for a lot of people and allowed them to identify with tango more quickly.
We've just heard Tango Místico performed by the ensemble Tangueto from their album Más Allá del Sur.
But how do they play electronic instruments down?
They open their laptop and they hit play.
Really? It's just about that, isn't it? I mean, I just wonder.
There's other layers.
All the art of the bandoneon and the, I mean, it's magnificent art of tango.
So, yeah, so I was talking about the electronic orchestras, and then I said, but now, even more interestingly, there are acoustic orchestras.
Oh, they're back again.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
In the past
really
5 to 10 years.
So they came and they went, and they're back again.
Yeah, because the electronic orchestras, as she said, they hit a nerve with people almost immediately because,
well, because
it's
that's
familiar.
The music that they listen to, but you can't do it.
But the nuances inside of the traditional tango is far more intriguing for the dancer. It's far more alluring, and we can hear the same song, which we do every day, and hear something else in it.
Of course,
because it's so subtle.
Yes, that's the word. Well, we could go on and on and on, and I just want to thank you so much for coming and sharing your thoughts and telling us all about this wonderful festival. So once again, what are the dates, Meredith, and how do people get the tickets and so on and so forth?
The festival takes place over Memorial Day weekend from Friday, May 24th through all day Monday, May 27th. You can get the schedule and more information and also register at philadelphiatangofestival.com, or you can call me if you have questions at 617-291-3798. And the online registration is open until midnight tonight. And if you miss that, you're welcome to come pay at the door. We've had unprecedented pre-registration. We've had more people say they're coming on Facebook, for example. More people respond that they're coming. A
Wonderful.
Greater response than we've ever seen. It's going to be a big festival.
Wonderful.
We're
I'm so thrilled. Very excited.
Yeah. We haven't mentioned the other teachers who are coming.
Go ahead. Yeah.
We're very, very happy to welcome back Javier Antar and Cara Wenham, who are true stars of the tango world right now. They're teaching and performing in almost every country of the world this year. They're at the top of their game. Wonderful dancers, fantastic teachers who've been working together for a few years now and have something very special to share. They've already taught at my school twice to absolute rave reviews. So very happy to welcome them back. And we also have Guillermo Cernias and Marina Kenny coming from Buenos Aires, who are less well-known in the U.S. It's their first tour here together, but they're fantastic dancers and teachers. And we're very lucky that all of those dancers from Buenos Aires speak excellent English. So it makes it easier for them to teach and to communicate with us. And then, like we said, Adam Hoopengardner and his partner Chico Tanik from New York are both going to be teaching the beginner track and also a couple more workshops for experienced dancers.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it sounds very exciting. I'm so thrilled that you've had such success. And thank you for coming to Crossover. And probably you'll get so many responses to the show. Just be ready for an onslaught.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for having us,
Jill. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure, really. We've been speaking with Meredith Klein, director of the Philadelphia Argentine Tango School, and colleague Adam Hoopengardner, both who are professional tango dancers and teachers. The third annual Philadelphia International Tango Festival is taking place May 24th through the 27th. For further information, you can go to their website, philadelphiatangoschool.com, or call 617-291-3798. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening. Yeah.